Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you could live anywhere, where would it be? Costa Rica, Las Vegas, the beach in Mexico, Phuket, Thailand, Santa Fe, maybe Lancaster, PA, or Marietta, Georgia, or maybe your own farm in Sicily. Well, Gil and Gene from the Retire There podcast, they were wondering the same thing. So they decided to ask that question. What's so great about where you live? What are the main variables that helped you decide where to go? Cost, culture, or just plain adventure? Well, we're going to find out right here on today's episode. I'm Wes Moss. The prevailing thought in America is that you'll never have enough money and it's almost impossible to retire early. Actually, I think the opposite is true. For more than 20 years, I've been researching, studying, and advising American families, including those who started late, on how to retire sooner and happier. So my mission with the Retire Sooner podcast is to help 1 million people retire earlier while enjoying the adventure along the way. I'd love for you to be one of them. Let's get started. Hey, guys.
Hey. Hey.
This is a good way to start out a podcast. We're just going to be laughing because I'm so excited. So, Gene and Gil, your full name is Gillen.
Yes. Perfect. Okay.
But you go by Gil.
We just made it short for the show, but I go by Gillen.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yeah, but you can call me Gil. It's fine.
I like Gene and Gil, though. It's
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, yeah.
My first question here is literally this. Tell me everything.
Oh, my God.
Just tell me the whole thing. Now, okay. Why don't we start with this? I mean, this is the probably the most fun podcast we've done. This episode is just fascinating, and it's even more fascinating today in a world where we now have the ability to move anywhere, not just in retirement, but well before retirement. My very first podcast for Retire Sooner was with David Bach from Automatic Millionaire. And the reason I interviewed him was that he had this couple years ago, I was in New York with him pre-COVID, and he said, I think I'm going to go to Italy. I'm going to go to Florence for a year. I was like, you're not going to go literally for a year. And I thought he was just saying for a long time, like a couple of months. And 3 months into his trip, I was texting and I'm like, are you still there? He's like, still there.
Wow.
And 9 months in, still there. And then COVID hit and he actually kind of got stuck there a little bit.
Right.
But yeah, he's still there. He's still there years later. And he did this well before retirement. But now the cover of one of the most recent Barron's articles had Billings, Montana on the cover. Or maybe it was Boise, Idaho, because we've been talking about all these small towns in the United States that people are flocking to because we have more ability than ever to work from anywhere. Now you guys are obviously talking about where we're going to live in retirement, and you're still trying, I guess, to pick a place. But first of all, I'd love for you to tell our audience what gave you this idea to explore the world and share it on podcasts. Hey, sell me on wherever you live, literally from Costa Rica to these exotically amazing places that sound amazing, like Santiago de Queretaro. Santiago de Queretaro, Mexico, Sicily, Vancouver, Honolulu, Sevilla, Spain, all the way to, ready for it, Durham, North Carolina, Wilmington, Delaware.
Yeah.
What is another one here? Fletch, North Carolina, or is that New Jersey?
Fletcher, North Carolina.
Fletcher, North Carolina. Come on down. So you have, I would say, the exotic all the way to just, hey, maybe Wilmington's a place that is cooler than people might think. So let's maybe start there. Is that I'd love for you to share how you thought, first of all, this idea of let's explore this, number one. And number two, the thought of, hey, let's turn this thing into a podcast.
Okay. So basically, well, first I should mention also that we married in Florence. We eloped and married in Florence. So we can see spending, you know, a year there, but not much more. Because I think you can walk all of Florence like you could walk all of Boston. It's about the same size to me. So we want to move in a few years. And we want to leave New York City. We think that the weather would be better. And we just want to see more green and make our lives more pleasant, if you will. It's so chaotic where we are. So,
and by the way, are you in, when you say New York, are you in the city of New York? Where in New York really are
we
you?
We are in Bay Ridge, Brooklyn, New York. So we are near the Verrazano Bridge. We could see it from our windows.
We're Brooklynites, yes.
We're Brooklynites, yes. Yeah.
You're in the city.
Yeah,
yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Okay. So we decided that, well, you know, if we're going to think about moving, we need to go see some of these places ourselves. So back in early 2020, in February, we took a trip to Winter Park, Florida. Beautiful, you know, we wanted something similar to where we are, and it was nice, but it really wasn't for us. And so we said, all right, let's go home and let's pick another place, and we were going to go to Asheville, right. North Carolina. But then COVID hit. So that kind of stopped, you know, everything. And Gene came up with the idea of, why don't we launch a podcast where we can interview retirees about their adopted cities. And I said, that sounds amazing, because when I drove to work every day, my commute would consist of a 45-minute ride, and I would listen to podcasts. And I was so into it that I said, this would be a great idea.
So Gildo, you are retired from New York City College of Technology, right?
Yep.
And Gene, you're still working?
I'm still working, yes.
What's your time frame between? So, Gil, you're totally not working, or you have another job, or you're just full-time podcast, and Gene, you are working?
So I'm on full-time. She just retired. She's really trying to figure out what to do with her life. I'm jealous, but I have another 3 years, almost exactly 3 years, or if I retire now, I'll get hit on my pension. It's quite a large sum. Although Gil and our son are trying to get me to retire early. We'll see.
Yeah, my son and I really believe that he can cut the cord, because I can live without his income. He can live without my income. So we are really good to go. In fact, his pension, I think he should take 100%, not this, you know, 50%, 75% to the spouse. Because God forbid, thinking of the morbid issues, we both could survive without each other's incomes.
Okay. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe you could tell us otherwise.
We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
So why don't we start with let's just start with a factor. So if when you're going, tell me the process. You find somebody in a town. Mm-hmm. How do you find the people? Who are they? And then what do you ask them?
Okay. So initially, we didn't know what we were doing. So our guests came from family and friends, right?
Sure.
And we thought, hey, come on, we know quite a lot of people, but it turns out that they dried up pretty quickly. So then I started, I went back on Facebook because I had withdrawn from Facebook. It was just too chaotic and I didn't care for it anymore, but I went back on and I found these groups called, retired or thinking of retirement and where to retire. So I would read through all their posts, and if someone said, you know, I moved to X, I would then message them on the side. And over a course of, I guess, a month or so, we amassed about maybe 3-4 guests, and we were really excited. And, you know, Gene is a researcher. So then what did you do?
So back to what Gil says, finding guests is probably our most difficult thing to do in the podcast. So I started looking at books. People have written books about retiring places. And those are the people we get our biggest percentage of guests.
But I'll tell you, out of our 49 published episodes, we have 31 domestic and 18 international. And we're gaining, though, on the international side.
So 31 U.S., 18 international. Yep. And then do you have a spreadsheet that keeps, like a list of variables that you guys rank like a standard? Climate, crowdedness, chaos. I think you've used that word a couple times.
Yep.
public transportation cost. You have a set of variables that you score each city or each town so that you can kind of have a set score so that you can keep track of what's good and what isn't?
I would say no. It's more we love it or we hate it, really, I think,
yeah,
for us.
Yeah. Yeah. We are inspired, though. There are certain shows where we end the recording, we say, holy, we never thought of that.
I never knew about that
place. And we put it on our list of places to visit.
Mm, okay. See, tell me about towns of major places to visit. And then maybe, well, what are the factors that your guests from all of these places, what do they typically cite? What is important to the people moving to these places or living in these places?
I would say it really varies because some people have a lot of wealth and some of our guests don't. And it's funny, the ones on the low end, a lot of them tend to be the ones that go overseas. Hmm. They can live for a lot less money. Healthcare is a lot cheaper. Mm-hmm. And there's a woman who moved from when she was 55, so she's fairly young, from Southern California to Mexico. She lives a half block from the beach. She surfs almost every day, and she pays $420 a month for rent. Now, she lives on Social Security, and she's a writer, so she gets a small amount of money from her book.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's it.
As an author, I can confirm small money. All right. So what town was that? What episode was that, guys?
That was Mazatlan,
Mexico.
Yeah. And I have to say, she's not living in some kind of measly, I mean, she's living in a nice two-bedroom condo. And she was featured on an episode of CBS.
CNBC.
CNBC. And her place is beautiful.
Beautiful.
You know, so you wouldn't think that $450 could buy you that, but it can't.
It's $420, and she says, people in Mazatlan, if she tells them she pays that much, they think she's rich.
Right, because many don't pay that much.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go dive into that location. Because again, I love to romanticize this. I told David Bach, as much as I love what he did, I don't think I'll ever do it. I love to think about picking up and moving to one of these cities. And by the way, I lived in Seville. I lived in Sevilla for 6 months in college.
Oh,
I did
nice.
Study abroad there. And it's an incredible place, right?
Yeah.
But I'm so ingrained in America and love. I don't know what it is. I just love being here. I can't see myself living. I can see myself visiting a lot of these places, but going for a year or two like David Bach did is amazing. I love to think about it. And I love to actually talk about it and contemplate with it, and I'll ask Lena about it. I was like, hey, what do you think about going to Florence for a year?
Yeah.
Actually, I'd like to go to Phoenix for a year. There's a lot of places I'd love to go. But I guess to some extent, I'm a visitor at this point, and I don't want to move anywhere because I love Atlanta because it's such a good – Atlanta to me is such a wonderful compromise about so – or in a good way –
yeah.
It has so many different things that make it a wonderful city. Yeah. And it was just every time I come back from New York or Miami, and I've had to travel a lot in the last year, or even great places like Austin or Denver, every time I come back to Atlanta, I literally look at the skyline as I drive back into the city, and I think, wow, this is the best place.
Yeah.
Let me go back to this woman who is in Mazatlan. So is it the romantic picture of what we think? Like I'm going to a place, it's near the beach, it's a great little town. What is it like there? And how did she make the call to do that?
It's a city. It's a nice city. What happened was she was a newspaper writer in Southern California, and the internet came along, and basically she lost her job. I think her youngest child was 18. She talked to him. He was okay with her leaving. She was a single mom. She didn't have a lot of money. And she visited Mazatlan and just fell in love with it. And she moved down there.
She had gone several times.
Yeah.
She was married, she even went.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
But she moved down there and she had the idea of starting a local entertainment newspaper, like New York Magazine type of thing. And she did it. She did it for a few years, but it was a lot of work. And I think that's how she got to know a lot of people. And now she's, well known in the area. And yeah, she loves it. She loves surfing. She loves
hanging out with
a friend.
How old is this woman?
She's probably around 60, mid-60s now, 65. But she was 55 when she first moved there.
Yeah. Okay. Can we give her, what's her name, by the way?
Her name is Janet. Oh,
Blazer.
Janet Blazer.
So Janet is 60 and she's surfing?
Yeah. 65 at least. 65,
and she's surfing.
Yeah, she's in great shape. Yeah.
You can follow her on Instagram. Yeah. She's
amazing.
A surfboard. You know.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's cool. She's going to get some follows after this episode here.
Oh, yeah. She's got a lot now.
She's gotten a lot, because she was on TV.
Is this a town where there's a lot of other Americans and expats that live there, or is she very much just in the culture of
Mexico? There are a lot of expats, but she has learned the language. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she speaks perfectly. She has learned the language. And she has a lot of friends who are Mexicans, but she also has a lot of expat friends.
Yeah.
But she's not one of these people who just hangs out with expats, as a lot do.
I don't think it's as popular as some of the other Mexican locales.
Right.
Which is what gives it its charm as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know,
as soon as it gets ultra popular, then it loses the charm.
Yeah, kind of like Asheville, you know. Yeah. Like, a lot of people aren't going to Asheville now because the malls have popped up, and it just seems like a place where you want to avoid.
But Mazatlan's a place where she pays $420 a month, half block from the beach. But you can pay, you know, $4,000 a month for a beautiful penthouse.
Yeah.
There. You know, it really ranges.
Hmm. Well, okay. So how many of the folks that you've interviewed, so that's a great example. So Janet is an amazing example. How many people do this as a temporary move that you've talked to? How many people are just saying, hey, I'm going to do this for a year? Or most of your guests on the podcast, are they guests that have officially moved and they're going to they're planning on staying for at least for the foreseeable future?
Most have officially moved. However, we have some.
We have some snowbirds. Yes, maybe two.
Snowbirds. As a matter of fact, the woman who lives in Seville, she spends half the time in Seville.
Yeah.
Where she travels around Europe also with her husband. And the other half, they live in Northern California.
Hmm. Okay, so she does both. Now, I love this thought of the folks that have, let's say you've got this range of incomes or wealth.
Network. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
On the lower end, you see people going a little bit more international, which is fascinating to me. As long as I've been in the happy retiree business and as many families that I've worked with, it's still relatively rare where somebody goes internationally. And I think the block on doing international is the worry of, hey, I'm getting older. One, I'm moving away from my kids. Mm-hmm. Two, I'm worried about healthcare in another country. And not that it's any better or worse, but it's just a little scarier as I get older. Those are the two big variables. Yeah. So tell me about those variables.
Let me say this about moving away from kids. I thought so many of our guests would say, oh, I don't want to be away from my grandkids. You know, I've waited all my life for grandkids. But, you know, these people, they love their grandkids, but most of them, they didn't let them stop them from moving. There's a guy who moved to Costa Rica.
Okay.
And he has three adult daughters. 2 months out of the year, him and his wife go back to the States and they see those daughters. They're close. They rent some place close to them. And he claims that he spends much more quality time in those 2 months than he would if he lived a block away from them.
That's very interesting.
He's a very interesting guy.
Tell me about what's his name?
His name is Rob Evans.
Okay. So let's talk about Rob for a minute. So Rob, I've got to give these people a name. I did a podcast. I can't remember which one it was, but we were talking about the gentleman's mother, and he spent for it was the one on cognitive decline. It was a female guest, and we talked for half an hour about her mom, and she just kept saying mom, mom, mom. At the end, it was almost too late to even say, hey, what is your mom's name?
Yeah.
Eventually, I was like, hey, what is mom's name? Just mama. So this guy who moves to Costa Rica. So Rob moves to Costa Rica. Tell me about this one. So this is why your show is so fascinating, because it's kind of every single story I want to know about. Like, why did Rob move to Costa Rica? Maybe I want to move to Costa Rica.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Rob was one of our earlier international guests. And Rob was an engineer from IBM. And his wife is a teacher, or was a teacher, and very into the numbers. Rob pretty much figured out that he retired before 65. So
I think he was in his 50s, yeah.
He was in his 50s, and he realized, hey, you know what? I can't stay in my own country because I can't afford health care because IBM was paying for everything. So move somewhere.
Yeah, but they weren't paying after he...
No, right, because he retired early. He had, let's say he was 55. He had a decade to get to Medicare. So he had 10 years of expensive health care.
It was before Obamacare, so I don't know how much that would have figured into it.
So he did a lot of research. And, you know, like us, Rob has his spreadsheet. He's got all these factors. And he's very popular on those Facebook pages. And he's responsible for getting us some guests because he really believes in what we're doing. And, you know, we do him. So he found Costa Rica. And what was really interesting at one point was he sent his wife down there without him. And he made sure that she had someone to, you know, get the paperwork done, get her acclimated.
But he sent her down there for 3 months.
Yeah.
Living with a woman who wrote a book on Costa Rica.
Right.
And he paid this woman to take her everywhere and make sure she had a good time because he really wanted to
move there.
But
this is a whole new marital retirement strategy. I'm paying for you to leave for 3 months. I'm paying for you to have a friend for 3 months.
Yes.
Just to check out this place. So she gets home. Rob says to her, all right, great. I need you to check out another place for 3 months. What's Rob doing back in the States? I'm just kidding. Keep going.
That's not what happened. What happened was she said, let's pack our bags. Let's go.
Yeah, and she fell in love with Costa Rica.
They sold their house.
Yeah.
They got rid of everything they had except what could fit in a small storage locker.
Yeah, they kept getting smaller and smaller. Yeah, yeah. So they sold their, 3,000 square foot house. They moved into a smaller place. Then they moved into a smaller place. Ultimately, they moved all their life belongings into a storage facility. All right. Mm-hmm. And then they went to the airport. They had six suitcases and they threw out their coats because they no longer needed them. And they got on the plane and they left.
That was it.
And where? Okay, so tell me about their little town and where they live in Costa Rica.
So they don't live in a little town. They live in a big city, the capital.
San Jose.
Yeah. And they rent an apartment. It's dirt cheap. It's nice.
Yeah.
And they travel everywhere by bus. As a matter of fact, he's known as the bus ninja of Costa Rica. And among expats in Costa Rica, he's really well known. He has a Facebook group, and whenever somebody wants to figure out how to get somewhere by bus or train in Costa Rica, they contact him, and he'll know how to get there.
And, he's an amazing guy.
That in itself is an episode. The bus ninja of Costa Rica, Rob Evans.
Yeah, now, he's so nice.
Are Rob and his wife, are they the ones that come back for 2 months to visit the daughters?
Yes.
So where do the daughters all live?
They live in three different places. One, I believe, lives in Canada.
Yeah.
One is on the West Coast somewhere.
I think she's in LA.
I think, yeah, LA.
And the other one
might still be in North Carolina.
Yeah. Yeah, because they're originally from North Carolina. They're originally from the Raleigh-Durham area.
It's interesting because my research has shown me, and this is in the new book coming out, What the Happiest Retirees Know. One of the chapters is about family habits. I have 10 categories. So one is money, one is investing, one is spending, and the other seven are actually non-number related. Now, they all have a financial tie, but family, in what is the relation to happiness when it comes to different components of family? And one of the data points that I found in my research is that as the percentage of kids you live near, the higher the levels of happiness. So it's direct relationship. Hmm. The closer you live to your kids, the more your happiness levels tend to go up on average. So I think that is certainly a personal family decision, but I certainly have seen from a research perspective that it certainly helps increase levels of happiness. But I like this is almost like the best of both worlds.
Yeah,
I think you need to speak to Rob Evans.
Yeah.
He's going to set you straight.
Yeah.
I love that. Well,
we actually had a guest who... And to me, part of this is culture also, you know, and maybe because she's Hawaiian and you know, Asian, but she and her husband retired, moved to Las Vegas. And She missed her grandkids so much. I mean, so much that she decided, I can't stay here. And they love Las Vegas. It was actually affordable. They found all these interesting things that we didn't know about. You know, there's a large Asian community there, and they have their own, like, home-cooked foods, retail places,
Hawaiian food.
Yeah. Hawaiian food. But ultimately, you know, it was just not, they were calling her. So she went back.
Yeah, what's interesting about her is, you know, they say, what's done in Las Vegas stays in Vegas. Well, she left her husband in Vegas. He didn't go back. He's still there.
So he's in Vegas. This is an even better story than the Rob Evans story. So she goes, they both move to Vegas. He stays in Vegas.
Yes.
Yeah. Who moves to Vegas stays in Vegas. And she moved back to where?
Hawaii.
Honolulu,
right?
Wow.
To be by her grandkids.
Yeah, and she had to buy a new place that now she has a mortgage again.
Yeah, because you know, they moved to Vegas because it's so less expensive than Hawaii. Hawaii is really expensive.
And now she's back. That sounds expensive, that whole endeavor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because as she says, buying the amount you buy a house for in Vegas is a down payment in Hawaii.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was funny.
Of course it is. Well, let me go back to the factors, the variables that people cite. And to your point is that everybody kind of has their own way of ranking a place. Like, we love this place because. Mm-hmm. We love this place because. Mm-hmm. What do you find those top variables seem to be coming up over and over again?
I think there is a common thread.
There is, yeah.
You know, for many of our international guests, I would say a good majority, it was the cost. All right. Mm-hmm. We have people who we have a young couple who retired.
One's 38, one's 48.
Yeah. And they moved to Manta, Ecuador. And they were years ahead of 65. But they took a look at their lives and they said, and a lot of this is, you know, COVID helped along, I guess. They said, you know, we want to be somewhere where we can really enjoy ourselves and not be a slave to the dollar. And so we find that for the most people who move abroad, it is an impetus. Money is definitely one of the main drives, I would
say. Because money goes, it goes farther internationally than it would in a big city.
Yeah. I mean, for me, if I never have to cook a meal, that's a big deal. If I could have fresh fish every day, even brought to my house, and some of these places, you know, the fish guys, I forget what they're called, but they'll come to your house, you know, and then you select the fish from your doorstep. Now you can either go out.
Okay, hold on. Again, this is exactly
isn't that wild? It's wild.
So Gil, tell me, you mentioned the fishmonger. Where's the fish guy go? What town is this? I want to go there too.
This is a small fishing village in Chelem, Mexico.
There was another one. Was it Portugal? Yeah, there was Portugal, I think.
It might have been. I'm not sure.
There's a few places like this along the coast.
Okay, so you have cost big. You have, food is obviously on the list. So food.
Yeah.
Right? Let me just say about housing costs. It's interesting in the United States. Since many of these places where people retire to, in the last 2 years, the housing prices have gone up dramatically. Now, that's not a problem for somebody who sells their home and wants to pay cash and sells the home in New York City or Los Angeles.
Right.
But somebody who sells a home in Des Moines, they may not be able to get that home on the coast in South Carolina anymore. That ship has sailed.
Yeah.
That's
true. So it's tough. You're exactly right. Give me some coastal examples of anybody from like the South Carolina, the Georgia coast. But for our listeners, by the way, Georgia does have a coast. It doesn't look like it on the map.
Savannah is beautiful.
Oh, it's
gorgeous. We're trying to get a guest from Savannah.
Yeah,
so if you know anyone
out there from Savannah, call us.
Call us.
So tell me about where have you seen done on the coast? Give me an example of
the
southeastern coast, not in Florida.
Not in Florida. So we did
South Carolina.
We did two. South Carolina, what was the city?
Hilton Head, Charleston was one episode.
That's right.
And Myrtle Beach. And then we did another guy in South Carolina as well. Oh, and a third one in, what was it, Greenville?
Oh, Greenville, sure. Greenville, Spartanburg.
That's not on the coast, though, yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's not on the coast. That's in the mountains, yeah. Greenville's beautiful, yeah.
Okay, okay.
I'm thinking. But okay, let me hear about, so tell me about somebody that it was in Hilton Heads or Charleston.
So Hilton Head, it was a couple, your friend from high school.
Yeah. And I think it was more, it was a community.
And what happened with them?
Community living.
What happened with them was she had been divorced, and the deal was with her ex-husband that when they sold the house in Long Island, and when the kids got out of high school, they would sell the house in Long Island. And so that's what she had to do. She didn't have a lot of money, so she sold it, got half of the money, and she wanted to pay cash for a house in South Carolina.
No more. Wanted no mortgage. By the way, that's another huge statistic in my research, is that happy retirees, as years to pay down mortgage goes down, or years to pay off mortgage goes down, happiness levels go up. So sounds like a happy retiree. She has no mortgage.
So she moved down. So she flew down there right after the house closed. She didn't have any place to live. She finds a house in Sun City. She loves it. She buys it. But she actually moved in. I don't know how she did this. She moved in before it closed. And she had it painted before it closed. But
well, they really worked
whatever.
With her.
Anyway,
they were
she was
really
a very nice woman. But and she loves it there. They both love it there.
Okay, so she did Sun City. Is that, I guess Sun City is near Hilton Head and Charleston.
They call it Hilton Head.
Yeah.
Must be right around Hilton Head, yeah.
And did you do a Charleston episode?
All right, so Gene found an author who wrote a book. It turns out he's a financial planner, Adam Curran. He wrote a book called Retire Y'all.
South Carolina.
South Carolina. And he's a transplant from Connecticut. He's not retired yet. He's probably around your age, younger. And he talks about why South Carolina is a great place to retire. And much of his business is advising retirees about those areas and how each area has its own personality and its own style of living.
Right. He says in Charleston, people want to live the Southern lifestyle. They want to say y'all. I can't even say it. I'm a Northerner.
You're like you all.
Y'all.
It took me about 20 years to just easily say y'all, because I'm out from outside of Philadelphia near Lancaster County. So I grew up saying you all or you guys and Wooder and that's, and then eventually now I say it like you're
y'all. Yeah.
So we've got cost. We have food. You mentioned community.
Yeah.
The community, because the community was something that was important to the woman who moved to Sun City.
Yeah.
Then we have, go ahead.
No, I was going to mention that healthcare was certainly something that almost every guest looked into.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about healthcare. Let's start with healthcare internationally. How does that work?
So we have people who either they do one of two things. They either purchase the healthcare or they don't, and they pay out of pocket for, you know, visits or what have you.
What do you mean they purchase healthcare? In the given country?
They usually purchase private healthcare. Now, private healthcare in most countries outside of the United States is relatively inexpensive. The United States is the only place where private healthcare is just dramatically expensive.
Yeah, ridiculous.
Yeah, and so some people pay out of pocket, but they might have catastrophic health care. So if something really bad happens, they're covered. But if they just, you know, break their leg or something, they
and is it
themselves.
Different health care providers, Gene, in every different country, or is there a few that continue to pop up?
There are a few that continue to pop up. Don't ask me the names because I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't either.
When I
say pay out of pocket, I'm sorry. It's basically, you know, you go to a doctor's office and you pay what you and I might pay, like
$400 or $500. They pay $80.
They'll pay $80. Sometimes they'll pay $30. It depends on what it is. Now, if you have a serious condition, what we have found is some of our guests have moved back to the United States, but even like a few of them, they didn't have to. It was just that psychological fear of being comforted, you know, back home. But the healthcare in some of these countries are astronomical. I mean, in some of the places, they're probably better than the U.S. Well, maybe not better.
Well, you said astronomical as in price. Or you're saying the healthcare in some countries is actually really wonderful and good.
She meant wonderful and good. Yes.
I mean wonderful. Yeah, trusting, state of the art. Many of the physicians have been trained abroad. They've been trained in the United States.
Yeah, speak English.
They speak English, or they grew up in their native country, studied abroad in the United States or Europe, and then they went back home and practiced there.
But again, it's partially why people are there, because they feel totally comfortable.
Yeah.
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 Oh, yeah. 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 Absolutely.
So these are also folks that the international ones obviously have some real sense of adventure. I mean, you've got to be fairly adventurous, I think, to go to any of these countries.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
What about the culture, though? Because I remember talking to David Bach about just picking up from New York City, moving across the world and going to Italy. My thought was, what do you got to make all new friends? You got to meet all new people. Tell me about the social side of it and or the cultural side. How, when your guests talk to you about that, what is that like? Are they starting over? Do they usually know a person or two?
Yeah, I would say a lot of them have done their research and they've connected with online communities, or they've been recommended by folks who have done it. So they think it's doable. So most of our guests, I would say all of them, recommend that you don't just go down there and move. Although there was one guy, Rob told us that he just moved down there one day and it was like, why am I here? But that was a different story. But for the most part, I think people did their research, spent a good amount of time down there, anywhere from 6 months to a year or 18 months. Some immersed in the language. Most have not, but there's enough English or expats around that help them. Now, in terms of the culture, for me, so our plan, Gene and I, is to find a home in the United States, not in New York, and then travel abroad, 3 to 6 months a year, kind of like you. We want to be that visitor. And I want to move somewhere in that time frame to a place where no one's asking me, where are you from? You know, I'll say, I'm from Brooklyn. They'll say, where are you really from? And I'll say, well, I was born in Brazil because my parents landed there. But where are you really from? I'm like, well, if you want me to say China, I can't because I've never been. Mm-hmm. So I kind of want to be somewhere where that we're comfortably accepted. I mean, we're an interracial couple, and some people may look at us a certain way, even in 2021.
Explain that to our couple. Guys as an interracial couple.
Yeah, so I'm Chinese American, and Gene is a mix of.
So I'm Italian, French, Scottish, English, Irish.
Yeah,
I think Gene, I heard you say you are not Chinese.
I'm not Chinese. Yes, yes, I'm sorry.
You listened to our episode. Yeah,
I am not Chinese, but my father's family is from Grenada in the West Indies.
Yeah. And so, you know, the two of us were quite rich in backgrounds. But, I want to be somewhere where for once I don't kind of have those questions. And I didn't face any of those in Hawaii. But for our guests, let me just say this, though. Many of them moved to these countries and they started to learn the language. Not many succeeded because, you know, at a certain age, it's
right, when
very
you're
hard.
60 or 50, it's hard to pick up a brand new language.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah. And we know of a guy who who's actually English, right? Born in London and wound up in Thailand. That was our most recent episode that was released. He's in Phuket, Thailand. And he started out really wanting to move to Vietnam.
Which he did.
But Vietnam was just a little too kind of crazy for him. You know, people are playing karaoke or whatever at 2 in the morning.
But the biggest problem was the visa problem.
Yeah.
He wasn't sure whether he could stay in the country for a full year. Every year was a
So Vietnam was difficult, but Thailand ended up being easier.
But much easier.
Much easier.
What's this guy's name?
Richard Joins. Joins so Richard, is, yeah, Richard, J-O-Y-N-E-S.
And Richard basically, he lives on his boat. He technically, he has an apartment.
He has a boat.
Because he has to have an apartment. But he lives on his boat, and he's just enjoying his life. He's around 70 years old, maybe.
Yeah, he's 70.
He's just having fun.
Yeah, and he retired early, too.
Yeah, he retired early.
He retired early. So he's from England, but then in his 20s or so, he moved to New York City. He had a
construction
consulting business. And then at one point, he went to Vietnam. He loved the people. They were welcoming. They were warm. They made him feel very much accepted, embraced. And because of that visa issue, and some of it was noise, you know, you want to sleep a normal hour. Right. It was kind of hard.
People doing karaoke at 4 o'clock in the morning.
And in the streets. It's very busy in the streets. Mm-hmm. And so he moved to Phuket. And he says it's only like a 40-minute flight from Phuket to Vietnam. So he can have the best of all worlds.
Now let's move to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
I read these lists constantly, you know, top of the list.
Oh,
this is the
Barron's.
Top small town in America now.
Yes.
It's like every town's a top small town at some point.
Yes.
Right? Doesn't it seem like the best states to do business and the best small towns there?
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like I always see different ones. So it's a lot of
the
best small town.
Well,
you have to investigate yourself.
Yeah.
But I think to your point, it's different for everyone. It's a very customized decision. Mm-hmm. But let's talk about some of those towns maybe that surprised you, you know, that you wouldn't have thought about that seem like pretty amazing location. Or let's just maybe talk about a couple locations in the United States that are of interest to you all.
All right. When you say surprise, here's the one that surprised me the most. We had a guest who retired to Manhattan. And I was thinking Manhattan, it's so expensive. Why are you going to retire there? Well, Manhattan, it's a great place if you have money, yes. But what he did was him and his wife, they always want to live in Manhattan. They bought a condo near Central Park. They were able to do it because they sold the house, so they paid cash for the condo. Mm-hmm. And they're also able to do it because they did things like they got rid of their car. And for people who know, having a car in New York City is really expensive. First of all, the automobile insurance is outrageously expensive. And then most of the time, you don't want to park in the street because it's so difficult. You have to rent a lot. And renting a lot in Manhattan is you pay more than what most people in the United States pay for rent.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. We had a guy who retired or staying in Queens, New York. And it took him 11 years to get a parking spot in his condo.
Building,
11 years, and he's proud.
Yeah. It's tough having a car around here. But New York City surprised me the most. And they love it. They go to
Where were they from?
Shows. They're originally from, aren't they from?
Upstate New York, from Albany.
The South. They lived in Albany for a while,
a
long time.
And always wanted to move to the big city, and they did.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
I see here you had a February episode of Marietta, Georgia. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Chelem, Yucatan, Mexico. Cary, Apex, North Carolina. It's funny. I like a lot of I've been to a lot of these places. I went to school in North Carolina. So I went to school in Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
And that's why I frown upon the thought of Durham, because Durham is where Duke is.
Sure, sure.
And
yes.
It's fine. I
dislike Duke as well.
Okay, so where are the top places on your list right now?
Depends which one of us you ask.
All right, so
let's start with you, Gene. Gene, you tell me, what's your number one spot?
Okay, my number one spot is Santa Fe.
Mm-hmm. Santa Fe, New Mexico.
New Mexico, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
It's a place where they have very interesting people who live there. It's somewhat diverse, although Gil will tell you, not a lot of Asians, but that may be true.
Look, so long as there's a Trader Joe's, I will go anywhere where there's a Trader Joe's. No, seriously, because
there is a Trader Joe's
they
there.
Place themselves in places that appreciate the diversity in food and people. It's true.
That's cool. It's interesting. Well, you should come to Atlanta. We got a lot of Trader Joe's scattered all over Atlanta.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so Santa Fe, New Mexico, which has some elevation, and it's a little, and it's drier, so the weather's probably really nice.
Right.
I don't remember. I've been maybe through Santa Fe, but I don't remember. But it is nice.
I'd love to live in California, but it's just so expensive.
Too expensive.
So that's out.
Okay.
And when I was younger, my dream was, and before I met Gil, I told her, when I met her, I told her, I'm moving to the Pacific Northwest. That's where I'm going. Of course, I fell in love and ended up in Brooklyn.
Aww.
But,
what a cute couple.
But yeah, the Pacific Northwest is still on my list, I would say. Yeah, even though now it's getting really hot there and there were so many fires.
Yeah.
By the way, you are, for our listeners, you guys are the quintessential beautiful American couple that started a podcast together. Happy retirees.
Nuts.
All right. So, Gil, tell me about what's your number one spot?
All right. You're not going to believe this. It's not as exciting as Gene's. But
Wilmington, Delaware. Let me try to guess.
No.
Wilmington.
No.
Almost.
Let's see here. Marietta, Georgia.
It's not on the list. Close. It's not on the list of somebody who retired there, so we can't.
Oh, it's not on your list of podcasts.
No, but it's but if he's
so really he got it right because
he got it right. Yeah,
it's close to Wilmington, Delaware.
Yeah, so I come from a big family. I'm the oldest of seven, and they're all on the East Coast. So I kind of want to be on the East Coast, and what I've decided or settled, because one of my criteria is to be 30 to 45 minutes from an international airport. So I know that's a crazy criteria that comes before healthcare. so my place would be a suburb of Philadelphia.
No kidding.
Yeah, because two of my sisters are in Pennsylvania, and one is upstate, and the others are in Brooklyn and Queens. So,
but the two in Pennsylvania are right outside of Wilmington, Delaware.
Right, but I don't want to be.
What are the towns, guys?
One is in Chadsford, and the other is in Garnet Valley.
It's such a small world because yeah. I literally grew up 20 minutes from Chadsford.
Right.
Yeah, and my mom lived in Chadsford after her first divorce for about 5 or 7 years.
Oh my God, I hadn't even never heard of
it. Wait, so you were from Lancaster?
Well, so my dad lives in Coatesville, Pennsylvania, which is about an hour outside of Philly, and then if you keep going west another 20 minutes, you're in Lancaster, and so I grew up going. We were in the one thing that our listeners that nobody ever thinks about, or it's hard to kind of, and I think a lot of places are like this in the United States. You're at this heavy urban center, you're at the docks of Philadelphia, and you're in the center city of Philly, and then not even an hour away, you're 50 minutes west, you are in the absolute gorgeous countryside.
Yeah.
The rolling hills of southeastern Pennsylvania They're gorgeous.
Yeah.
So my mom is in Westchester, Pennsylvania, which is near Chadsford.
Sure. Yep,
my dad is a little further west in Coatesville near Lancaster. And he was a large animal veterinarian when I was a little kid. And so his clients were a bunch of Amish people. So our Amish farm, dairy farms. But so I spent a lot of time in the countryside and he has horses. So there's a lot of horse back riding in southeastern Pennsylvania. But Chadsford is a wonderful mix of it's a really nice town. Mm-hmm. There's a Trader Joe's.
Yes.
There's a Trader Joe's and lots of good food and great. But it is a nice kind of mix. It's a nice suburb of Philadelphia.
Yeah. It is. And it'll be easy for us, you know, if I can convince Gene. And because he'll get to pick where in particular, if I can get that locale. And we'll travel from there. You know, who knows? Yeah. Maybe we'll still be doing the podcast.
But it's funny you mentioned Lancaster. I like the city of Lancaster. It's a nice little city. And it's on a lot. You'd be surprised about this. On a few lists, it was
number one.
One year it was number one place to retire.
Lancaster, Pennsylvania.
Now it's like four or five usually. Yeah.
Yeah. Again, we've already determined that everybody's like on top five. Yes, every town pays a PR person to get them on a top five town to retire list.
That is true.
But I do like your thought. So this is an interesting thought, though, is that I've been reading about Billings, Montana, a bunch, and Boise, Idaho, that keep showing up on different lists. And that's happened for the whole year of the last year and a half ever since we started talking about moving due to COVID. And then this weekend, it was the cover of Barron's. And I thought to myself, well, that ship has sailed. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So once it becomes the number one, like actually number one, you do get a little bit of an influx in it, and it hurts, and the prices go up, and the very reason people are moving, it kind of gets watered down a little bit, and it gets too crowded. So mm-hmm. we're always trying to find that, and this is going to be maybe one of the missions for your podcast, Retire There, mm-hmm. will be to figure out the next emerging place in the United States that's going to be the next small town that's going to be amazing. And
right, maybe, that's what you have to do. That's the secret.
The emerging.
Yeah. Find it before it emerges, yes.
Right, and then move once it's over-emerged.
No, move before it's emerged.
Move before.
But Gil, you brought up a really interesting point. By the way, you guys are pretty spread out. You've got one, you want to be in Chatsford, PA, and another one, and Gene, you want to be in Santa Fe. I think you've split the difference and you land in Denver.
There you go.
Well, Denver's nice. I mean, we both love Denver, and there's so much outdoor activity. Yeah. So. But, you know, it does get cold. It gets cold. I love Vancouver. I will tell you, Vancouver is another place that was on my list, but too far, and I'm tired of these long flights. These flights can kill you.
But, Gil, you are also kind of maybe backing up a little bit of this thought of being near family is a really big deal for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so being near your siblings is – and do you guys have kids?
Yeah, we have one.
And where?
He just graduated from college, and now he just moved to
Warwick.
Warwick, Rhode Island.
He just got a job up there. So,
what's his name?
Max.
So Max is Prudhoe. In Warwick. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And that's I've actually never even heard of it. Is Rhode Island a nice place?
Rhode Island is tiny. It's beautiful. It's coastal, but it's tiny. I mean, when we drove up there, when we were moving him up there, most of the ride was Connecticut. You know, it was like Connecticut. Then, boom, we hit Rhode Island. It's tiny.
It's a small state, and you can get anywhere within a half an hour in Rhode Island, any other part of Rhode Island. Yeah. But it's good because it has the coast. Then it also has Providence, which is a nice little city.
Yes.
And has all the colleges in Providence, which is makes it a great college town.
Great college town.
By the way, Rhode Island is the smallest state in the United States.
I thought it was
Delaware. Oh, yeah. Geographically, yeah. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. What about anything where you find some of these folks that do move and they're either disappointed, they make a mistake on their choice, maybe some unexpected obstacles that people run into?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I would say the biggest mistake was we had a guy, he told us he moved to Clearwater, Florida. And you have to understand, Clearwater, Florida, like a lot of these places, is always on these lists of one of the best places to live. But what happened to him, he moved into a neighborhood with people who he didn't dislike, but he didn't get along with them.
They were Scientologists.
They were Scientologists because apparently Clearwater is big. It's the home of Scientology.
Again,
he didn't have anything against them, but they wouldn't say hello to him. And he's a really friendly guy. He wanted a real nice neighborhood where he got along with his neighbors and everything like that.
So he moved next to Tom Cruise. He couldn't talk to anybody. And it just became kind of weird for him.
Yeah.
That's exactly what happened.
Did they try to convert him and pull him into Scientology?
Not necessarily.
They didn't do that.
They
But they just kept to themselves. And he didn't like that.
And he would say hi, but then they wouldn't say hi back. And so they're hoping to save enough. You know, and then to move. So that wasn't a good choice.
Prices are everywhere going up so much, they may have a problem. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was a very big shocker. And
but again,
I didn't realize.
Community. Yeah. That is the community question, right?
But that's a whole, he didn't do his research.
He didn't do the 6 months to 12 months.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
So that's a huge key that I'm getting from this is that you clearly have to do a full 6 months of research to figure out if the community is right. And really test all of it, right? Within six months, you kind of get the food, you get the adventure, you get the cost. Mm-hmm. You know, the one thing that I think that maybe there would be a case against visiting is that when you're visiting, the socialization is, I think, a little bit different because you're not rooted. And everybody you meet, you're like, well, I'm only going to be here for two more weeks. I'm only going to, you know, it's like, because socialization, you really have to invest some time and some energy and actually say yes to invitations and go and hang out and get to meet people. So I think there is a thought that if you're going to be somewhere, the upside of living there or living there for a portion of the year, you really do get more ingrained in the culture and the society.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, if you're not immersed and you're not accepting people outside of your expat community, right? Or even in the United States, you're going to miss out. So you have to get to know your neighbors. You have to talk to people who are, whether they're when you're shopping or just that kind of socialization. Take some courses in the area. Not just move down there, but literally see what others do. If you and imagine yourself living there a year from now, what would you be doing? You know?
And I think it's important to be accepting of the people there. They might not be like the people who, you know, you knew back in New York.
Right. You're a guest.
But you're a guest, and you know, act like that and see if you like it, see what you like, and don't just make quick judgments.
Yeah, because most of our guests, especially the ones abroad, right? Because if you're coming within the United States, no one can really be that different in terms of the culture. But the ones who moved abroad, they said there were a lot of expats who would say, why do they do things this way? Oh, that's so wrong. Or this is just not the way to live. And and ultimately, they were just miserable. And they would wind up leaving or just... And then they would say... They feel this negativity that the country they grew up in did not allow them to stay. I mean, that was their own conclusion. And so they blame the United States for making them work their butts off and then not be able to stay. God forbid they retire before they're 65.
Because they didn't have enough money to retire in the United States?
Yeah, huh. Or they didn't have enough money to live the lifestyle that they wanted.
Right. They thought they would be able to live a lifestyle. And, you know, I mean, most of our guests don't just live on Social Security. There are a few like the one in Seville. I mean, they are comfortable. They have a home in Carmel.
Yeah,
they have a home.
They're very comfortable.
They built a home in Seville.
I would say, comfortable to Seville. Quite comfortable.
No, in Seville, they rent, but they rent the year round.
Right, they rent a year round.
But a place in Carmel has got to be, what, 10 million?
No, they don't live in Carmel. They live in Northern California, but it's not Carmel.
Okay.
They live in wine country.
Yeah, I think of Carmel, but it's similar. And they...
They're nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, and very expensive as well. Yeah.
So let's go back to that. You had mentioned, it was interesting when you said that more of your guests that have been international have been, they've done it, cost is a huge variable because it's less expensive. Mm-hmm. What about folks that are, let's say, on the wealthier end of the spectrum? So the opposite, where do you see those people going?
So I think we've had, I don't know that they're necessarily wealthier on that end. We have a guy who moved to Paris, okay? Mm-hmm. And he was living originally in, I believe, San Francisco.
Yeah.
And so, you know, one can argue that the prices aren't that different. But he went to Paris and he actually... got work, but it wasn't something that he really needed to do. But he's living comfortably. He's been up there for how many years?
Four or five years.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a permanent resident now.
He's a permanent resident.
Wow.
He got that because he became a citizen of Ireland. So okay. It was easier for him.
Okay. Because he was part of the EU.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we have a couple that moved to Sicily, right? I would say, I don't know that they're comfortable, right?
Yeah.
They were definitely comfortable, and they decided to start a farm there. But it was an obstacle initially. You know, to move to some of these places to become a citizen is very difficult to attain. The wife in that case had to find, you know, going through ancestry and all that. She found a relative, you know, kind of like a long lost relative, and ultimately, over a course of 10 years,
yeah,
she became a citizen.
Her grandparents are from Italy, so they were born in Italy. That's how she was able to
become
a citizenship. But it did take her eight years. Yeah,
yeah. And then on the other side of the spectrum, we have people who couldn't.
By the way, you just skipped over that. They left America and started a farm in Sicily. That's a kind of an amazing story.
A little farm.
What kind of farm?
I
think it's just a family farm, but what they really do, they have a bed and breakfast.
And sounds pretty romantic to me. Bed and breakfast and a chicken farm in Sicily, Italy.
Yes. Yeah. They were
pretty cool.
They have a pony. They have, I think, sheep.
Was it expensive? Were they pretty wealthy to be able to do that, or is it affordable?
I think it was affordable. Yeah. I wouldn't say they were wealthy. They were certainly comfortable.
Yeah, they were comfortable.
But not wealthy, and... they really, when they lived in the United States,
they had a B&B in the Oregon, United States.
They had, to make more money, they had a B&B in their house. Hmm. And they rented that. So they made a lot of money in that because they had a popular B&B. Mm-hmm. And they hope to be popular in Sicily.
Yeah.
What is the most, as we wrap up today, give me your, in let's call it 30 seconds or less, what is your most exciting, romantic, fascinating place that or thing about a place that anyone is, that you've learned about so far?
Okay, Gene, 30 second. I will say Bulgaria was a shock to us. Because
it's a former Soviet country. I thought
communist,
it was former communist country. I thought it was such just a bleak place, and it turns out it's beautiful.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It's romantic. And it's a part of Europe that doesn't necessarily, you know, come to mind, for me. One of the places that I want to go to is, London, Norway, Amsterdam. And we haven't done some of those places yet, but Bulgaria was an interesting thing.
When did you go? So you've been to Bulgaria?
No, we've never been.
No, just we had a guest.
We had a guest, and we did a lot of research on Bulgaria.
It seems to be all those things.
Yeah, to be all those things. Well, the couple gave us a really good flavor.
Yes.
And it wasn't on our map. It wasn't on our, you know, radar.
That's for sure.
Yeah. All right, so Gene, your turn.
I would say, I don't know if this answers your question, but the most interesting thing I learned for me was the couple from who went to Seville. They decided that they were going to travel different places in Europe. And what they do is they travel without luggage. So they'll go 2 or 3 days to someplace, say France. And they'll have just the clothes in their back, and she'll have a pocketbook, he'll have his wallet, and that's
romantic.
It. Well, it's romantic.
Interesting. I said interesting too. That is interesting. Crazy. These are crazy people.
They'll go to check in at the hotel, and the guy will look, see no luggage. He'll probably think, oh, they're having an affair or something.
Yeah.
And
a lot of good marriage stories in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But I thought that was so interesting. The Seville couple, they were very interesting people, yes.
How do they wash their underwear?
Well, you buy certain, you know, the store Ex Officio, and I'm not marketing for them at all.
Yeah, that's the one in all the airports.
They're in the airports, and they easily dry.
That dries so quickly.
They buy Ex Officio stuff, wash their stuff at night, and it dries in the morning. So they sleep naked, and everything dries overnight.
Yeah, I don't want to know about the rest.
And she said it was funny because that's what everybody asks about the underwear.
It's the first thing I think of. Like, come on, you got to cheat. But they literally go in and they wash their clothes and they dry out quickly. They're prepared for that. They have
it's more of a challenge. It's more of a challenge.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
But they've done it a number of times. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Wow. It's pretty cool.
I know.
Sounds very international spy. It's like a James Bond movie. He doesn't notice that James Bond doesn't ever have luggage.
Oh, interesting.
Think about that.
Because like you, Wes, he has a lot of associates and assistants.
People.
Okay? He just shows up and says, I'm ready to record.
Ready to go. Ready to go. Welcome to the Retire Sooner podcast.
Yeah, which is great. I would listen to a few episodes. It's really great, by the way.
Cool.
And I did listen to the one with the guy from who moved to Italy.
Yeah,
that was a good one.
I like the one about what makes you happy, the two parts. And I have to say, there are some things that I need to learn. Yeah, learn to let go. Because, look, I had a very stressful job, and mm-hmm. I'm still trying. I have so many interests, and I understand that to be happy, you have to have a couple of core interests.
Core pursuits, 3.6 of them, by the way, 3.6.
Yeah, I know. For us, we have so many things. And we're still growing.
We have too many.
We have too many things, and our skills are still growing. So hopefully we won't, you know, resort to early memory issues. But
you can't have too many, by the way, Gene.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can't have too many.
I like that.
You guys are amazing. Thank you so much.
Hey, y'all. This is Mallory with the Retire Sooner team. Please be sure to rate and subscribe to this podcast and share it with a friend. If you have any questions, you can find us at wesmoss.com. That's WESMOSS.com. You can also follow us on Instagram and YouTube. You'll find us under the handle Retire Sooner Podcast. And now for our show's disclosure. This podcast is provided to you as a resource for informational purposes only and is not to be viewed as investment advice or recommendations. This information is being presented without consideration of the investment objectives, risk tolerance, or financial circumstances of any specific investor and might not be suitable for all investors. It is not intended to and should not form a primary basis for any investment decision that you may make. Always consult your own legal, tax, or investment advisor before making any investment or financial planning considerations. Please refer to the full disclosure in the podcast description for any additional information.